KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
It's clear and 13 degrees in Atlantic at 7:07. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. We look for skies to be partly cloudy to cloudy today, a high of 28. The news is brought to you by Lindeman Tractor, offering you farm equipment that works as hard as you do. Prosecutors in Pottawatomie County have filed two new charges against a man whom they previously accused of fondling two students while he was a teacher and coach at Trainer. The Omaha World-Herald says 45-year-old Michael D. Travis was charged December 10th with two felony counts of sexual exploitation by a school employee. The county attorney's office said the alleged crimes occurred in August of 2001 and August of 2004. Travis worked in the Trainer School District as a fifth-grade teacher and assistant softball coach. He was first charged in May with two counts of sexual exploitation by a school employee and has pleaded not guilty. A trial is scheduled for late January. Court records show prosecutors alleged those crimes occurred in May of 2002 and 2006. After being closed since the Labor Day weekend, Red Oak Community Middle School will reopen its doors for the new year. Superintendent Terry Schmidt told the Daily Nonpareil an inspection by the state fire marshal's office on Monday morning cleared the way for the building to reopen on January 5th. The school was closed indefinitely after as much as 2 inches of water flooded its second floor, leaking into electrical conduits and creating a safety hazard. A three-story building just north of downtown Red Oak is more than 100 years old. Middle school students will start their holiday break early on Friday so teachers and support staff can box up temporarily classrooms in the district's high school and its adjacent technology building. Maintenance and operations staff will complete the move during the holiday break, according to Schmidt. The building has already repaired its electrical infrastructure. New carpet and new painting where needed has been applied, and because the gym is separate but attached to the building, the fire marshal gave an all clear to use the building weeks ago if the district prevented a possible fire from spreading to the main school. Schmidt said the repairs so far have totaled about $120,000, but he expects the total bill to end up to be about $150,000 by mid-January when claims are submitted to the district's insurance adjuster. Firefighters from Adair, Exira, and Anita responded to the scene of a structure fire about 5 miles northwest of Adair Tuesday morning. Adair Fire Chief Jordan Smith told KJAN News they were paged out to the garage fire at 3025 Union Avenue a little after 8 a.m. Tuesday.
The girlfriend was home at the time. Her boyfriend was gone to work. Girlfriend was home at the time. She woke up to smell of smoke in the house. They didn't have any working smoke detectors in the house at all. So she did wake up to the smoke, got out immediately, and called 911, got the fire department en route.
Two dogs also escaped the home without injury.
Upon arrival of the scene, the garage was fully engulfed, and it was also connected garage was connected to the house by a little breezeway, so we knew the house would have probably been in trouble also. We had Exira come out as mutual aid and Anita fire department come out to help us out. We kind of got it knocked down, and there's a little bit of damage to the house. The house isn't a total loss. I mean, it's still for the most part livable.
A car in the garage and a wood-burning stove were destroyed. Smoke from the fire was so thick, Smith said, there were concerns an accident might result from the poor visibility.
I called for law enforcement and for traffic control because the smoke was blowing across the road. It was so heavy and black that any kind of traffic trying to come by there, I mean, we could have had an accident or head-on collision.
Smith said a wood-burning stove in the garage or an electric fan circulating air in the garage or a combination of the two may have caused the blaze, but the incident remains under investigation. There were no injuries reported.
The big thing we had helping us today was Mother Nature. The way the wind was blowing kept it away from the house as much as possible.
Crews were on the scene for about 3 hours. And authorities in Pottawatomie County Tuesday identified the victim of a canoeing accident that took place Sunday afternoon on Lake Manawa in Council Bluffs. Bluffs Police Sergeant Chad Myers said the victim, whose body was recovered late Monday morning, has been positively identified by the Iowa State Medical Examiner's Office as 39-year-old Jeremiah Beckman of Omaha, Nebraska. Beckman's family has been notified of the identification. Beckman was an active duty member of the United States Air Force and was stationed at Offutt Air Force Base. Myers said that Beckman and 36-year-old Benjamin Ferguson, also of Omaha, were on the lake when their canoe capsized at around 1:45 p.m. Sunday. The accident happened as the men were maneuvering the canoe through an area of ice on the southwest side of the lake near Boy Scout Island. In our funeral announcements, John Greenwald, age 69 of Messina, died Friday. A celebration of life service for John Greenwald will be today at 11 o'clock at Trinity Christian Church in Bridgewater. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has the arrangements. Vera Ellen Chalfant, age 91 of Guthrie Center, died Sunday. Funeral services for Vera Chalfant will be held on Thursday at 10 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center has arrangements. Emma Jean Emmy Falk, age 86 of Anita, died Monday. Funeral services for Emmy Falk will be on Thursday at 10:30 at the Anita United Methodist Church. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita has the arrangements. Dorothy Jarvis, age 85 of Greenfield and formerly of the Griswold and Omaha areas, died Monday. Funeral services for Dorothy Jarvis will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Griswold United Methodist Church, with the Dune Funeral Home of Griswold in charge of arrangements. Betty Hazen, age 88 of Fontenelle, died Sunday. Celebration of life services for Betty Hazen will be on Thursday at 1 o'clock at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home of Fontenelle has arrangements. Rita Linen, age 92 of Woodbine, died Sunday. A massive Christian burial service for Rita Linen will be on Saturday at 10 a.m. at St. Mary, Our Lady of Fatima Church in Portsmouth. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Bob Cole Jr., age 52 of Atlantic, died December 9th. Funeral services for Bob Cole Jr. will be held Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Candy Ann Pangburn, Betances, age 42 of Harlan and formerly of Atlantic, died Saturday in Council Bluffs. Memorial services for Candy Betances will be held Sunday at 3 o'clock at the community room of the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Richard McCauley, age 81 of Atlantic, died August 31st. A massive Christian burial service for Richard McCauley will be held January 3rd at 10:30 a.m. at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic has the arrangements. And Kenneth Kramer, age 97 of Atlantic and formerly of rural Lewis, died Monday. Cremation has taken place and memorial services for Kenneth Kramer will be held at a later date at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. That is a check of our news this hour, brought to you by Lindemann Tractor. Lindemann Tractor is good news for your blues. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.